Cheer. I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot. Hove.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast, a very professional podcast that I'm the host of. I'm your host, Rod. Joined as always by my co-host,
Karen.
And we are here on a Wednesday, ready to wrap up the week. It's been an eventful week. A lot of stuff going on.
I see you shaped your mustache a little bit better so it fits more across your face. You went from went from Mario and Luigi till 1970s, a lot of 1920s. Where's your cap and your twirling the ends of it?
Well, people said I look kind of like Drake's daddy with the other mustache. So I said, let me calm down and try something else. Don't want to be looking like, the spawn of Toronto on the map.
Are you going to twirl it because you the villain?
The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. The folded chair.
Wow, you two trying to get your jokes in, not paying attention to your job.
That's fine. It was worth it. You gonna get these jokes, nigga.
The unofficial sport.
Bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today is just a regular show. Lots of news to get to, but of course I have to start first by asking if you have any banter.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me get some music. All right, Karen, why don't you hit the audience with some of that banter that they've been waiting on, some of that very natural banter that we just throw into the flow of the show. It's like you wouldn't even notice we was doing it didn't tell you.
You wouldn't even notice it. The first thing I wanted to talk about was we went on a walk yesterday, and I was proud of myself because I was not as tired. I remember, because we've been doing it for a few weeks now, I remember when we first started it, nigga, listen. I was okay going, but coming back and hitting that hill, I had to stop, take one break. I'm like, ooh, am I ever going to get there? Mm-hmm. And now I'm good. The hill's still whipped my ass, but it ain't like it was that first time. I was like, ooh, you done came a long way, Karen.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing. Like, progress is very incremental, at least to me, on the stuff that I'm doing. Like, I was doing bear planks today.
Bear plank?
Yeah, it's a certain form to the plank. I started with elevated planks because she thought that would be easier, but I actually thought that was kind of hard. I couldn't quite figure out how to do them right. So then she showed me bear planks. Both of all the plank adjustments are harder to me than just trying to do a plank. But either way, I was like, let me just go ahead and do what she told me to do. And I can't do them as long as she would like. Like, it's like a minute is how long she wants me to do it. But basically, I just do as much as I can till it adds up to that minute. And then I do all the reps and then I go home. It's the last thing I do because it's the hardest thing. It's incremental. Like, I now can do about 36 seconds before, being like, all right, I gotta stop. But when I first started, it was like, 15, 20 seconds sometimes, 10 seconds. It's like, I had to work your way up. So, yeah, the progress is incremental. Same thing with walking. I used to take 1 mile walks. I used to take 20-minute walks. And now I'm probably taking about 40 to 45 minute walks every day or every other day. Mm-hmm. And just mentally and stuff, it's not as hard as it used to feel like I was walking forever if I just walked, because I hate cardio unless it's basketball. And it used to feel like it was taking too. I was like, oh God, how long is this shit?
And I realize we're covering more distance in a short amount of time, too.
Yeah, I'm getting a little, but it's incremental. Like I said, I walk slow, so it's not like I'm ever going to be, like, killing it with the walks. But, you know, it's just I look down and I'm like, oh, okay, that's like 10 seconds faster than when I started doing this. So, yeah, it's incremental and, you know, it's good progress.
Yeah, it is. And it's one of those things. I was much, much younger and I know it would take a long time, but I remember when I could walk like, you know, 4 or 5 miles in like no time. Like I could really go with the power walks.
I don't even remember ever trying to walk that long. Like there was nothing I did. I wasn't doing 5Ks. I had a car. Like, you know, even if I was walking around my neighborhood, I was more walking for just time. It was before you had your Apple watches and your Fitbits and shit. I'd just be walking and be like, okay, I walked 30 minutes. So I walked 40 minutes or whatever.
I used to love to do that. And so for me, I had to realize I needed realistic expectations and go, okay, Karen, you may or may not get back to that point because I was a lot younger then. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, you're progressing to the point where you can do those things.
And so there's always somebody in there that is older than you that can do those things that show you that it is possible.
True.
I watched a dude today that did regular ass planks. He was an older dude. He did planks. And then the trainer put 45-pound weight on his back. And he did I'm sorry. It was the verbal rate. So it must have been about 20, at least 25, though. It was at least 25 pounds he put on his back while he did the plank. And he held that plank long as shit. I was like, oh, my fucking God. People could do that. So, it's something that shows you, like, well, it is possible. So, you know, my 36 seconds one day might be that, but I got to just keep pushing it. And of course I'm not comparing myself to him, like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna be where you at when I'm that age, but just hey, if it is possible, right. So why give up early on yourself? So you know, you say you were younger and you might not be able to get there, you might not, but you'll only know if you get out there and try one step at a time.
Yeah. And also I think truthfully with me, I can tell me going to the chiropractor made a difference, you know, with my hips and things like that. So it's like, hey, I'm more, because I was uneven, mm-hmm. So I'm more even now, so I'm able to, you know, walk for longer periods of time and things like that. My, you know, because when you're underlying, it affects your knees and all types of stuff. So I have really been enjoying that. I know something that I have been noticing, and I actually Googled this. I didn't realize this. When we walk sometimes, my hands just swell, and I don't know why. They just swell, and I Googled that, and I realized they were saying that's a common thing for people's hands to swell, mm-hmm. when they're walking. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know that was common, because I was like, that's the first time it had been happening. But it was, yeah, you get a rush of blood to like certain parts of your body and you just swell. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, okay. I was like, so I'm not crazy. I was like, you know, high blood pressure. I was looking at everything. I was like, the fuck is this? Why am I swelling? But it goes down afterwards, so it's not anything that stays around. So I've been, I'm aware of that. So I'm like, oh, okay, this is normal process. Just continue to drink more water, continue to take care of myself and things like that. You have anything, or do I just want to go through mine?
Keep going.
Okay. My next thing is I wish, and I've said this before, but this is my version of I wish life was like video games. Because I wish in life when you going into a new environment, it would do like my video games that I like, how you walk up to some shit you don't know and then it pops up and it tells you what to do and how to do it and gives you instructions on what to do and how to do it. And you just do it and it's like, okay, you can move on to the next task. I wish things in life was like that, because sometimes you walk up, you be like, I don't know what the fuck's happening. You fuck shit up and then somebody tell you it's wrong after you done fucked it up. It's like, it would be easier if this item or whatever I'm doing just had random instructions that pop up that I just had to follow. And also, I wish that...
Or at least like NPCs in the background... giving you clues by saying stuff that don't make sense in real life, but in video games it do.
Yes.
Like they'll be like, we need to fire the cannon. Don't forget, we gotta fire the cannon.
Yes.
when are you gonna fire that cannon? You're like, oh shit, I guess I gotta press the button to fire the cannon.
Right? You're like, oh, I think I might need to be firing the cannon. Yes, I wish it was random shit like that. You know how they joke about how whenever you commit a crime, you know, some nigga pop up and you're like, that's 5 to 10. Mm-hmm. I wish, you know, you had NPCs that would be like, I wouldn't do that if I was you. You know, mm-hmm. that might blow up. You're like, what might blow up? If you hit that button, that might blow up. You'd be like, oh, I think I don't need to push the button. You know, just shit to just warn you in life. And I wish it was redos. When you fuck up so bad, they'd be like, you know what? Just start over from the beginning. They'd be like, you know, go back to the last checkpoint and try this again. I wish life was like that sometimes.
Yeah, me too. Sierra's in her full thick era, and I just appreciate
I'm here for it.
You know, shout out to Russ.
Even pregnant, she was gorgeous.
Yeah, and I don't think she's pregnant right now.
She's not. We don't know how long that's going to last.
She's giving us them yams, and I'm like, oh, she going to be pregnant again soon.
Because, you know, one thing I love about them is I love the way he looks at her. He looks at her at all times like it could be me and you as soon as we get to the house. Like, he actually, like, I'll be like, baby, is you safe? Like, keep him out for you. You know, because he look at you like, yeah, I'm going to leave it in tonight. He be like, well, damn, he not saying that, but that's what his eyes say.
Yeah, we keep talking about Rihanna, but we should be looking at Russ, the way Russ be on.
I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
Finally, we can go to sleep.
He love that woman. You can tell it.
Yeah, he's all over it. I don't blame him.
Me either.
You know, I appreciate it. People's bodies change as they get older, and bodies change, and you know, people snap forward and backwards on the weight and all this shit. But it was just wow to see that she's out here just killing us right now. Who do you think is gonna play Sean King in the biopic whenever they do the Sean King movie?
I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't even thought about that.
I asked Twitter. There were a lot of suggestions.
I know the answer was all over the place.
A lot of suggestions. Of course, J.L. Covan recommended himself. You know, as I would expect. Justin Timberlake. Mm. Robert Downey Jr. I think that's a meta. Carrot Top. A lot of white people getting suggested. Rachel Dolezal. Powder. I guess Powder from the movie Powder. That was so white. Schofield, a.k.a. Captain Cold from
Legends of Tomorrow,
which is actually a pretty clutch call because he's actually a black person that he's biracial, but he looks to a lot of people looks white.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
So they was like, he could play Sean King. Chet Hayes.
Chet Hayes be good.
Are we going to see Sean King speaking in patois?
Yes, sir.
The white teacher from Abbott Elementary.
Ah, Jacob.
The rapper Logic came up a lot of times. Someone just sent me a picture of a white raccoon. That's my man Seahawk. It was just a lot of good suggestions out there. I just want everybody to know I appreciate them. I was like, okay, now we got something here. So, but I do wonder who plays him in the biopic because he's recently been on my mind because he just recently reverted to Islam. And now he's got a whole new set of people to deal with, you know, hopefully the wearer's welcome out with, because it seems like every time he's playing something, it don't happen the way he said it's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. People keep asking about the money, the shit goes wrong, then he disappear for a bit, he pop up. Hey, new thing, new personality, new thing I'm doing, climbing a mountain, I'm doing such and such. So with the Palestinian Israel shit that's happening, I think I don't want to say he lied. I'm just gonna say I don't believe him.
I don't either.
He said no, hold on, you don't even know what I'm talking about. You just generally don't believe him.
Whatever it is, I go,
I was gonna say he said at one point he got kicked off of Instagram because he said free Palestine, And I don't believe him because all these people have been saying it. Like, I know people want to be like, I put sweat in the game. I said this thing, and it's proof that I said something of value, and it cost me something, because most of the activism, quote unquote, solidarity, is a lot of it's digital. And I'm not mocking people for that. It's just by necessity. What the fuck you gonna do, fly over there? Most people, the extent of what they can contribute to the environment is like a hashtag Free Palestine on their podcast, mm-hmm. or on their digital space or their social media, right? But the thing is, with that being so ubiquitous, with so many people saying it, I don't believe Sean King got banned for off of anything for saying it. That's not like, why would they specifically only ban him? And of course, he's back on Instagram and fine. And now he's reverting to Muslim. I think they say it's revert as like a new term they're trying to use. I feel bad for the black people that are black Muslims, because they're going to have to go through it twice now. They went through it as black people already. Now they got to go through this nigga being like, yeah, and you know, Assalamu alaikum. I need to hit the GoFundMe real quick. And, you know, I'm raising money to give to Palestine. It's like, okay, are you? You know, will you?
Right.
So, you know, I honestly feel like this is the pattern for him. And when you see a pattern from somebody, you kind of almost know what's going to happen. And the second that he start getting and going for the attention of like, it's all about the Palestinian people over here for me. I was like, I don't know how he's going to turn this into, and now I need some money or something, but I feel like we right on schedule for that shit. So that's why I was thinking about who's going to play him in the biopic, because it's going to be crazy. It's going to be a biopic about this man at some point. Maybe it'll be unauthorized. It probably won't be.
Oh, no, he'll never approve anything. I can't wait for his biopic, and I know, and since we're talking about it, I don't know why I'm thinking about this gentleman, and I don't remember his name. I can't wait for that dude that was up in Howard that scammed. How he's like his thing, like a gift now, where people jump up when they grifting people. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for his biopic.
Oh,
probably
yeah,
can interchange, probably be the same person.
I feel like it doesn't help that we don't know his name, and meaning that this biopic probably won't come to fruition. Because we don't even know his name.
I don't remember it.
Need to be kind of a household name. But honestly, somebody's gonna do something with this Sean King shit, because his life has been too interesting.
Yeah, it has. It really has.
I mean, look, he came to prominence 14 years ago. The fact that he's still stuck around, he ain't in jail.
Longevity.
He ain't never been convicted of no fraud, no embezzlement, no money shit, and he's still out here getting to the bag different ways and not really producing a lot along the way. That North Star shit never happened. The climb to the mountain shit never happened. Like, a lot of the stuff he promises does not happen, and yet I guess good intentions, right? If you got good intent, no one can prove your intentions were not good. So
right,
you just take the money and be like, well, I guess this is the money. Oh, you didn't get your shirts, sorry.
Yeah, he charged a whole fuck a lot for them shirts too, for people not to receive their shit.
All right, let's get into some other news. I know we're not from New York, but we are unofficially New Yorkers.
Unofficially, yes.
And I, you know, whenever my city is hurting like this, I have to speak up.
What happened?
New York City libraries would end universal six-day service under Adams' budget plan.
What?
Yeah. The heads of New York's three public library systems warned Tuesday that they have to close the book on universal six-day service at their branches and enact other devastating cuts to their social programs if Mayor Adams' latest budget is adopted.
Why?
Right.
What the library do?
As dirty as his money is, he got the nerve to be trying to put out a tight fiscal budget.
Nigga got the nerve. And I can't never get the tour, but you can actually tour their libraries, and some of the libraries that you tour, you can actually get to go to parts that are not open to the public, and they have all types of shit that is like not open to the public. You can walk around and look. So I've been trying to go on that tour. That tour is fucking hard. It's free, but you have to get it like weeks in advance because it sells out like really, really quick. You know, like to grab the free tickets to go, and they have tours like throughout the day in order to go like to the library. And so every time I go up there, I always try to get, you know what I mean, to get me a ticket, but it's been really hard. And so my thing is the libraries up there are, you know, not, I don't know about the smaller branches, but the larger branches, they're big, they're huge. They even have it where, you know, you can actually be like, you don't live here, you can still get a library book. You know what I'm saying? They, New York is like, we want everybody to read. So it's like, well, damn, dog, like the library serves a purpose. It's a safe space for children and things like that. You know, it's where people go for quiet time and peaceful time and things like that. Like, it's where people get all types of resources, job interviews. Like, people underestimate what the library do. I think because people don't, quote unquote, use the library, they just think it's pointless and what's the point of it and shut them bitches down. No, you would not think that if you use their services. You would think very, very different about the library and the resources of the library.
Yeah, I think also, you know, that's a great point of them existing as like tourist destinations and historical spots, but they also just function as libraries, you know. And if, you know, living in a city that has libraries, like that 6 day typically being a weekend, Saturday, hopefully, you know, some libraries stay open off 7 days, but if you're that Saturday is important because kids and parents, you know, you got school normally and work Monday through Friday. That's a big day. So yes, cutting that is such an interesting move in a time where people are banning books, in a time where we're worried about literacy rates because of the pandemic and people having to do remote learning and kids not learning it at the same rate that they were learning when they were actually physically in school. Like, these resources are things that the community puts tax money in,
right,
for. And you know, this other shit you be doing, showing up at the 40-40 club and whatnot.
Don't nobody give a fuck about that. Yeah. I don't want my tax money to go towards that, nigga.
Exactly. So, it seems ridiculous.
Popping bottles on my dime. Get out of here, sir.
Now, this could be a, like that thing they do where they float the worst case scenario. So then whenever the budget comes in and they're like, we are staying open 6 days. It's like, oh, yay. Okay. So it didn't happen bad. And it's like, we cut a bunch of other programs though. And so it could be that where they float out the scare tactics and then you end up just being happy. It's like when they said HBCUs were going to get their funding cut under Trump. And then Trump basically cuts the funding, but doesn't cut it completely. And people are like, thank God, you know? So I wonder about that, but yeah.
And somebody in the chat was saying they were 7 days a week, but you know, doing one of the last cuts. They basically cut probably Sunday, you know, right. And so somebody was like, why don't we do Saturday? But for some people, Saturday just might be an annual outing for them. Like, you know, and they do all types of programs probably on Saturdays that a lot of people aren't able to go through Monday through Friday. You got school, you got work, you got all this other shit. So they can throw things and have more of the general neighborhood can participate in it because it's when most people are off work.
Beyonce reveals that the Renaissance's follow-up album will be called Act Two Cowboy Carter.
And let's go, Cowboy Carter. Hee-haw!
So, you know, when they said three acts, Renaissance, I don't know about y'all, but you know, she wasn't really giving us the full blueprint. So a lot of people were assuming it was gonna be Renaissance the album, Renaissance the tour, Renaissance the movie. Those are your three acts or something like that. You know, one act would be the visuals. It sounds like Renaissance, everything that happened, that was act one. What the fuck? Whoa, what? Oh my God. Act two is, what the fuck is act two?
I have no idea, child. If you selling cowboy hats and cowboy spurs and boots, bitch, get ready because you're about to sell out them motherfuckers.
People was already showing up with that stuff at the last joint. She they been selling was. Chaps and all that. She been selling all that stuff. What the fuck is the next act? I don't know what is about to happen.
I guess I'll be sparkling with mine next time.
It's scheduled to release March 29th. Just last month, she initially announced...
End of the month. Let's go. Let's go, bitch.
She announced the news of a new album after appearing in a Verizon commercial. She followed up with a cryptic Instagram that said, Act 2 coming out March. So, oh my God. Oh, I don't know if the world is ready for this. But yeah, what the fuck is it going to come? Is it another tour? Is it just the album?
Is it a movie?
Is it like... Is it a spaceship? What the fuck can't she do?
Videos,
at this point?
Whatever it is, I am here for it. And I'm so glad I'm going to the chiropractor so I can make sure I can dip it like it's lukewarm and move around a little bit. Let's go!
The internet is torn over Trey Songz' racy meet and greets. Trey Songz has been a topic of intense scrutiny in recent years. He battles multiple court cases stemming from sexual assault cases. Last month, another of those lawsuits against him was dismissed. This case in particular was related to a 2015 incident where a woman claimed to have been drugged and raped by the performer. Sadly, it mimics the many other claims that the singer has faced. Songz has vehemently denied each allegation and has never been convicted. And while he has not released new music, the Love Faces star continues to perform. Yeah, a lot of people's response was like, I didn't know he was still performing.
Because most of us don't keep up with him like that.
I think one, he's a little bit younger than our generation, mm-hmm. so he's not our guy,
right? So I'm not following him.
And two, he ain't put out no new music, so that's people like, what is he even doing right now? Just chilling at the house. But yeah, so he's still going on tour called the Love Hard Tour, and he's been taking pictures with the fans at the meet and greets.
What is happening in these photos? These look like these photos people be taking with like their best friends and shit when they fucking around. You know them photos that was happening at one period of time?
Yeah, I mean, I think they look a little... I've seen pictures like this before. Chris Brown takes pictures like this. They just look sexual in nature and totally consensual.
Right, totally
and
consensual.
Like, this is these women's dream. They pay for tickets to see Trey Songz. They... probably don't care about the allegations against him and shit, or mm-hmm. they just literally don't think he did it, you know. It's
right, you never know.
We
right.
went through this with R. Kelly, you know, but mm-hmm. he good, you know. We've seen pictures like this with Chris Brown in the last couple years. I feel like the people that go out there don't give a fuck.
They do not.
I'm saying that as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. Right. As a statement,
just
they
a
don't care.
They don't
right.
give a fuck. But I also am not surprised, you know, because I also think there's an allure to the bad boy R&B shit, you
it
know.
Is.
Bobby Brown used to have that label. Mm-hmm. Chris Brown definitely has that label. Trey Songz has that label. And there's something about like, oh, you know, there's a fantasy element to it that some people think that shit is hot. So I think that's what we're watching here is Trey Songz, you know. Doing his thing, essentially.
Child, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, what y'all gonna do about it?
Nothing, because right. people are paying probably a few hundred dollars.
And he not gonna let y'all do shit.
But if the nigga cut me off, I'm going to fuck crazy, you understand?
Brooklyn pastor Bling Bishop found guilty of spending $90,000 of his parishioner's savings on luxury goods.
Is this the same dude that got robbed? That's the same. Oh, this
same
is different.
Dude. Lamar Whitehead, the Bling Bishop.
The Bling Bishop.
Mm-hmm. He was found guilty of 5 counts, including wire fraud, attempted extortion, and making false claims to the FBI.
Extortion?
The convictions are from 3 separate schemes. So yeah, he defrauded one of his parishioners by convincing her to invest $90,000 of her retirement savings with him. According to the indictment, he said he would help her buy a home and invest the money, but he used it on luxury goods and personal expenses instead. He also extorted a businessman for $5,000, then attempted to convince the man to loan him $500,000 and grant him a stake in real estate transactions in exchange for obtaining favorable connections by the New York City government that he knew he could not provide, according to the indictment. He used his ties to New York City Mayor Officer Eric Adams to try to make.
That's why he cutting the budget.
Right. He like, shit, I gotta get.
I got take care of my bling boy.
As the U.S. Attorney's Office said, when they brought the case, the defendant knew he could not obtain favors from the city government. With this ruling, that was proven right, says a spokesperson for the mayor's office. They looking at y'all too. Mm-hmm. He also made false statements by telling the FBI agents he had only had one phone call when he actually had two. So he had his dirt phone.
Don't you know they know that shit, dog? Like, mm-hmm. particularly knowing him, he the bling person. So he gonna have the shit in his name. It ain't gonna be in nobody else's name. And don't think they can't check records and shit. Like, that's stupid.
Each count carries a maximum of 20 years, except for the false statements to the FBI, which carries a maximum of 5 years.
You're going to be blinging in jail then.
Yeah, they plan to appeal the verdict, but yeah, it's not looking too good.
When they go after you, they don't miss.
Kanye West fired Yes Jewels over NDA violations amid vultures rollout. So the influencer and talent manager, Yes Jewels, got fired.
One of the few employees.
She had just promoted his upcoming album, but Ye claims that she will no longer work on the Vultures rollout due to her unauthorized actions. We have decided to no longer have Yes Jewels involved in the rollout of Vultures. All the activity on her page and with our fans in the past few days has been unauthorized. Shortly after that, an email from Ye's chief of staff, Milo Yiannopoulos.
Nigga, what? Now, I remember that nigga name because it's so unique. I remember that.
Yeah.
That's that thieving nigga who did the Wu-Tang thing and had to sell all his shit?
No. What, how'd you end up tanking that anyway?
Wrong dude.
Oh, man. No. What was that kid's name? God, he was a piece of shit too. Milo Yiannopoulos is the like right wing gay dude that trolled people. He went on Bill Maher, says a bunch of racist shit, homophobic shit. It was just a piece of shit, honestly.
Oh, that dude that got the seat and got voted out? Oh, that's another dude.
That got what seat?
Voted out of nope, wrong dude. My bad.
I don't know what seat you're talking about.
Oh, a Trump dude get voted out of like Congress or the Senate? Oh, that's another dude.
No, that's George Santos. And the other dude was Martin Shkreli.
Wrong white dude. Shit, they all look the same.
I just hope I don't have to like get you checked or something. Like I'll be taking care of you in our old age. So as I was saying, Milo Yiannopoulos, the gay right wing troll guy, is apparently the chief of staff for Yeezy.
That don't sound good.
Which is just such a everything about this dude is so unserious. I just don't know. Yeah, this is crazy. But yeah, he says, obviously you are fired, what the one sentence email states. Just crazy.
Okay, that's that dude that married a black dude, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, what's also interesting is you have a whole computer in front of your face every time we do the show. And you just decide that I'm better than Google. I'll figure it out. Dear Mrs. Goddard, enclosed, please find a letter and a statement of account from your time with Yeezy. Fines incurred to date as a result of your NDA violations come to $7.7 million. While you were a contractor, I suspended enforcement of this debt. It now falls due. What? This is crazy. none of this feels even remotely true. Hassan from the compliance team will reach out with the information about payment. Please note that any further violations will accrue more fines. Because you are being terminated for cause, but also because you forgot to sign your contract, your termination is effective immediately. If she forgot to sign the contract, how is it even enforceable?
How are we obligated to do it? Okay, just don't make no sense.
Forgot to sign y'all have contracts over there. I'm supposed to believe that, right? They said obviously you are fired in a follow up email.
Obviously you are fired. That's what happened when you show up at your regular job. They were like, obviously you're fired, right?
Right. It's like when a restaurant go out of business and you show up
and the door's locked.
And it's locked. It's like, well, I think we know what happens here. You don't even need to print out that bullshit.
Mm-mm.
Let's see what else has happened. Karen, rats are high on marijuana.
Oh shit! Now 420 for the rats.
Rats have gotten into confiscated pot at a New Orleans Asian police headquarters, munching the evidence as the building is taken over by mold and cockroaches. The rats eating our marijuana. They're all high, Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick told the New Orleans City Council members.
So the rats got the munchies?
Yeah, that's why they had the four turtles eating pizzas. Kirkpatrick described vermin infestations and decay at the office that have housed New Orleans police since 1968, saying officers have even found rat droppings on their desk. The police department did not immediately respond to an email request Wednesday.
Of why y'all office is fucked up, but my tax keep going up. Take care of your buildings.
Yeah, what are they spending the money on?
That's a good question.
Probably just overtime. For more information on how they discovered marijuana.
And most shit to shoot the public. Fix your building.
So they did not respond to an email request where people wanted to know more information about the marijuana rats. How can you even tell a rat is high on marijuana versus just a regular rat?
It's probably not scared of you. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times, you know.
We make people paranoid, too. It could be either way.
That's you know? True.
Was they all have super black lips?
They all had red eyes.
Yeah, that was.
They all wobbly.
They kept watching Half Baked over and over. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with these rats?
Their reflexes were slow.
Yeah, they all dressed like the dude. And yeah, the chief said that her 910 officers come to work to find air conditioning and elevators broken. She told council members the conditions are demoralized to the staff and to turn off the potential recruits coming for interviews. Yeah, how you going to get people to beat up black folks and then they got to come back to a sweltering office? Do you understand how fucking hot it is in New Orleans when you're harassing black people for no reason?
Yeah, that humidity. No, you don't want to play with that.
The city council is weighing a proposal to spend $7.6 million on a 10-year lease to temporarily relocate police headquarters to a pair of floors in a high-rise building downtown. That's the rub. That's what they really want. They just want all that downtown COVID property just sitting there.
With no purpose.
Let's put the police over there. Now, do y'all have a jail in that building? Probably not. Mm-mm. Do y'all have part? You know, like all the shit you're supposed to have as police? No. No, mm-hmm. But they'll make it do so they can live their high-rise dreams. Speaking of high-rise, what about the low, Karen? Okay.
What about the low?
The Dollar Tree.
Okay, what about the Dollar Tree?
They're going to close nearly 1,000 stores, and they post a surprise fourth-quarter loss on their, shareholder statements.
My thing is, they're really interesting because, periodically over the past few years, you've been hearing about Dollar Tree and Dollar General and the dollar store popping up all across the country, and particularly popping up in a lot of black and brown neighborhoods, and particularly popping up in a lot of food deserts and shit like that. And, you know, it's some people in communities, particularly smaller communities, they're fighting against them even coming there because they was like, no, when y'all come here, it just causes problems because they was like, your shit's not good quality. And yes, you accept EBT and all that stuff, but a lot of this shit has a lot of salt, a lot of sodium. You don't do anything fresh. You don't got fresh fruits, fresh vegetables. Everything is like canned and all that shit. And they've done studies. They was like, by the time, you know, you purchase things 3 and 4 times at the Dollar Tree, they was like, you might as well bought the shit at regular costing price a lot of times, you know, for what it's worth and what you're getting. And over the years, depending on where you at, them bitches been not being a dollar. you the Dollar Tree, but everything 109, 259, like, you know what I'm saying? So for a lot of, depending on where you live in the country, it ain't been a dollar. So, you know, it's one of those things where they're closing these stores. Yeah, because for, I could see them being in places where they kind of oversaturated the market, because they would literally pop it up like everywhere and probably in close proximity to each other and shit like this, you know, just expecting people to, you know, to stop by. I don't have anything, me personally, wrong with the stores, but I do understand a lot of people complaining about the stores going, hey, if y'all gonna be in these food deserts, you actually need to accommodate the people around you, because with some people, there's nowhere else to go, and everything I'm buying is canned and full of salt and sodium and shit like this. And so I understand, and this is probably something that should have been happened, because they really blew up during COVID, you know. So yes, this is like it's sad, but it's like a lot of shit. It's a course correction on a lot of shit. During COVID, everybody thought this growth was gonna, quote unquote, make it last forever, and then people's like, no bitch, it ain't gonna last forever. So now people are course correcting and shutting shit down. They're firing people, they're letting people go, because upper management never thought that the boat would actually stop one day.
Yeah, and I do wonder if it's one of those things where this was like a sip of water, a backyard pool in the desert that was the food desert in a lot of communities, but now that sip of water is gone. What comes in? What happens after this? Because I do wonder that, because while I understand why people shit on the dollar store, I understand Dollar Tree is, you know, a sign of bad things, but a lot of that stuff is also out of their control.
Agreed.
Like, they're not suppressing the lives of the people in that. They're not being like, hey, don't put no public parks out here. Like, they're not doing that.
Mm-mm.
But they are placing themselves in places where it's like the market advantage is you don't have anywhere else to go.
Right.
So if you want something edible, no matter the quality, normally bad, come on in here.
Mm-hmm.
And so they thrive, or they were thriving, or they're at least their business model was, because they did say they lost money. So their business model was, hey, we'll do this. And in a world where inflation's crazy right now, where or it's not even crazy right now, but where inflation is
impacting everything, yes.
Shrink, you know, shrinkflation, all this shit. Mm-hmm. People's money is going less far in the grocery store,
right?
And this is one of the few places where, you know, the shrinkflation was it was already kind of built in to where it was like, listen, you go there, you get one Twix, you know. But I do wonder, like, if nothing comes in to replace it, then what happens to the people that live there?
Agreed. And this is something, maybe it's just me, it's very, very frustrating, because if you do not live in a food desert area, you just don't understand how the crisis of living in an area where all you have is fucking fast food and gas stations and shit like this. You have nowhere for fresh fruits and fresh vegetables and shit like this, and it makes a difference in, like, the people and their lifestyle and, you know, how they can live and shit like this. And also, I partially blame, like, the grocery stores. We have areas in Charlotte where you have fucking 5 grocery stores. It's an intersection. 3 on one side, 2 on the other side. And you like a super Walmart here. You're like, God damn, it ain't but so many people over here, but we got 5 fucking places. And then we're not talking about the fresh market and the marketplaces and shit like this, on top of, like, your Food Line, your Walmart, your Publix, you know, and shit like this. Yeah. So everybody likes to be saturated with the quote unquote money is, but y'all need to spread this shit around. And a lot of times they purposely don't go to certain areas. You have grocery stores that, like, actually canvas this place and they be like, hey, if the people in this area don't make X amount of dollars, we ain't even going there. So it's like, well, shit, dawg, what do you think? And when people go there and people say, hey, I've actually been in these areas and I've actually had fresh fruits and vegetables and I sell out of them shits quickly. So it's a need there and people want it, but it's very difficult when it's not a demand on it. Like, the government doesn't make them put the shit there and make them stay and invest in the fucking communities.
Yeah, I wonder if there could be, like, incentive programs and stuff. There may already be some that exist. I just don't know because I'm not in that industry. But, yeah, it seems like something needs to be done, because I feel like this is not like some people will rejoice, but I always find that the social media disconnection between people who don't have and the reality that folks live in on the ground versus the theories and the talking points that exist on social media are so disconnected.
Yes.
So like, it's a limousine problem to be like, oh yeah, the dollar store is bad, man. The fuck the dollar store. Cause if you live in a place where the dollar store is basically your fucking grocery store, them being shut down is actually a bad thing for you.
Yes.
Because it's not a plan. We're just gonna get on a tangent. I was listening to The Daily, and they were talking about I think it was Colorado and their decriminalization of drugs, and how people were watching it to see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of turned into a bit of a nightmare for the people who were living in the community. And because then you kind of have like the open air drug use, because possession is no longer like a thing that is criminalizing unless it's like so fucking much that police are not supposed to even like it. You're supposed to call the police, and they're supposed to help get people in the treatment centers, not jails, you know, stuff like that. But as usual with like these ideas, you have to be, and this is why I ask questions of these ideas, not because I'm against that fucking idea, but because I'm 45 and I've seen enough life to be like, yo, if you don't have, you can't just yada, yada, yada your way out of not having a plan.
Right.
And you can't just scold somebody and go, that's the plan. Okay, cool, but we need more than that, because people are human. Things are going to continue to happen, and they're going to want answers, and they're going to look at your shit like, this failed. This is a failure of your idea, when it may have just been a failure of execution. And even the systems we have in place, which fail all the time or whatever, people, it's easy for them to understand those systems because they existed. These other ones are new. And so if getting upset and being mad that people are like, you're not being specific, what happens when the worst case scenario happens? That, and it, what happens is people just mock you, and as if you're some type of asshole, and you're, oh, you must be a Republican, or you must want criminals to go, da da da, whatever. My point being, this feels like one of those things where online I saw a lot of dollar stores bad, we got to get rid of dollar store. Right. And then now it looks like dollar store is getting rid of itself, mostly because they made a bad bet. They bought Family Dollar, which is not the same as the dollar store model.
No, it's not.
It just got dollar in the title. It's very dumb.
And nothing's in that bitch a dollar.
It's HBO Max acquiring, being bought by Discovery, and then changing the name to Max. And you're just like, this satisfies no one. Anyway.
Mm-mm.
My point being, this is the scenario where it's like, well, what do we have in place now when this thing doesn't exist? And that's what happened in Colorado. It's like, what do we have in place now? Because we're saying treatment centers. We don't have as many treatment centers as we have jails. We don't have as many medical treatment professionals as we have cops. It actually takes years sometimes to build that shit up.
Mm-hmm.
But because we wanted to like vote and go now, and the politicians want to remain in office, so they have no incentive to, if enough popular people are saying do this, they're going to do it. But when it collapses because it's a failure of plans, there's no structural integrity, everything was just immediate as opposed to being like, okay, we need 5 years to build these facilities and to get these workers so that we can actually give people a chance when they're in treatment rather than jail. And of course, the idea and the theory for a lot of people, and this happens with liberal people especially, but the theory was fine because it was online. It was over there. It was them. It wasn't really you. In your mind, you didn't think you were walking down the street in an open-air drug market. You didn't think about that. You didn't think about the consequences of what happens when people are on drugs, because people on drugs are not, they're not in their right mind at the moment. And the things that they're doing, if they're addicted, there are things that there's some rules you're going to break. You know, if you need to get that money and you ain't got no job or something, then you're gonna do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody is a model addict, quote unquote. And there needs to be like scenarios and pitfalls and catch-alls and all this stuff. But when you're just moving to be like, hey, everybody said, let's do this. So now they're about to reinstate all these fucking laws and shit, mm-hmm. probably. Hopefully not worse than before. I just saw Mario Bowser sign their safety law into effect today. And it's something I've been saying on the show for a long time now. I said this is how that crime bill came from in the 90s.
Yes, sir.
I was like, this is how the fuck it happens, is because we're looking at stuff that we're like, listen, right is right, this is the theory, blah blah blah. And it's like, okay, are we gonna really take how the political and social willpower to put that shit into place? Because there's pain that comes with these changes. With yes! all change. With all change, there's pain. And so there's pain that comes with these things. And what you find is that liberal people, black people as well, whatever group you're in, people don't have a high threshold of pain just to say they did the right thing. Meaning, if the rate of car theft goes up in the community, I'm not even talking about death. I'm not talking about, you know, violence, just car theft. Just, I woke up, I own a car, it is not there any fucking more. Whatever inconvenience that has to my life, money I have to spend, insurance shit, mm-hmm. police reports I have to file, time I have to go, whatever it is, most people don't like that shit. It's not the most painful thing, but it's a little bit of pain. People feel like these institutions, the government, all this stuff, they're there to take away and lessen pain, basically.
Yes.
Not saying that's right, but that's how people look at it.
That's how they treat them.
And they don't look at it in the long-term, holistic, get rid of your pain. It's almost like drugs. They want immediate, get rid of my pain. So, hey, my neighbor's making a lot of noise upstairs. I call the police. I just want the fucking noise to stop, if we're being honest. I'm not here to see you talk to them and be like, what was your childhood like? Why do you think you right. need to make noise? Do you want attention? No. I didn't call a counselor. I called the police to tell them shut the fuck up, and then I go back to doing my shit. And I feel like we're seeing the return of that type of, you know, punitive, restore us back to order and shit. And it's scary. Because it as hard as the pendulum swung the one way where Minneapolis is like, we are literally abolishing our police. And then they when they swing all the way back, it's like, we actually just gave them $100 million budget. And you're like, well, what the fuck? Because it swings so fast and it swings so hard back the other way. Because a lot of people, I think, they're not really prepared to live out the ideals that the activists are saying that they're prepared to live out.
Right.
And I think that's because the distance of what, especially now, current activism is not necessarily physical community-based. It's more like online community-based.
They say boots on the ground. That shit matters.
Yeah, and if you talk to people that live in these neighborhoods, it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. We're in Charlotte. I follow our council meetings and stuff like that, and you'll see people that live in these neighborhoods are like, no, the problem for me isn't that I don't want any police to exist. I'm living in a neighborhood with high crime. I want the police to come here and do the right thing. The right person goes to jail. Don't harass people for no fucking reason. But if you're asking me what I want, I didn't say abolish.
Mm-mm.
I want them to do what they're supposed to do. We know they can do those jobs, because when they go to affluent neighborhoods or white neighborhoods or whatever, they manage to treat everybody in there with respect. They don't be cruising around looking to fuck people up. But when they come to the black neighborhood, here they go with the bullshit. And so it's a different ass than the one that is the popular talking point in social media, which immediately connects to people of higher education, to mm-hmm. journalists, to people that are in the media. So it becomes the talking point for MSNBC. Then it becomes a talking point for Joe Biden and the Democrats and all this shit. And at the end of the day, the people that we're claiming we're trying to solve their problem are at this bottom going, that's not what we asked for. We hear your idea. And it's not that they don't ever want to get there. They're like, if you do that today, it will fuck me up worse. If all of a sudden there's no police, it's actually going to be worse in my neighborhood than if there are, if they're fucked up police like they are now.
Right.
But, you know, online, we can exist in these binaries, right? If you say something like, hey, we want police reform, we tried that, it don't work, shut the fuck up. And you're like, something has to bridge us from what the fuck the cops are now to what the fuck, to abolish, to where there's no cops. No country in the world has no cops, but
right,
we're going to figure it out somehow here because that's the only extreme that you will accept because it's the quickest, easiest hashtag you can put on social media. Well, there's that long period of time in between that builds to things that people just skip past. I feel like that's what happened with Colorado. And I wonder if this is what's happening with the Dollar Tree. You're exacerbating the worst elements of living in these areas that have food deserts because now you don't even have a fucking Dollar Tree. It's actually gonna be worse. And it's not like we all said online where we just start community gardens and everybody was gonna get tomatoes. It takes time. And there's no transitionary time if we're not building that infrastructure today and going 5 years from now. We won't need a Dollar Tree because we'll have our own fruits and vegetables and produce. Or whatever, you know, fruits, vegetables, produce, animals, whatever. We'll have that here. We won't have to. No, we just go get rid of Dollar Tree because that makes us feel good. And I think these people might be fucked. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No problem. And it's several things. I want to say this also, a lot of the food deserts. Well, people fail to realize years ago, remember when there used to be Walmarts all over the place? Then all of a sudden, Walmart started shutting down their smaller locations, and all of a sudden, they wanted to be like the Costco's and the Sam's Clubs. All of a sudden, Super Walmart started popping up around the country like crazy. And when Super Walmart started popping up around the country like crazy, a lot of these Walmarts in these lower-income communities started shutting down. And so I think Dollar Tree found a lot of these areas where a lot of Walmarts used to be. And on top of that, people fail to realize, everybody don't live in big cities. So when you live out in these fucking rural ass places and your local Walmart shuts down, all of a sudden it is a 20, 30, 45 minutes to an hour drive to the next goddamn town for a grocery store. People underestimate this. Everything is not designed like New York City. It's not. Everybody do not live in these very congested places where tons of people are. And so a lot of times when you talk to these people, go, oh, you live somewhere where you don't have to worry about this problem, so you're just talking in theory. So a lot of these things don't directly impact you. So it's real crude for you to say these things and dismiss it when these things don't directly impact you. When you don't have to look these people in their eyes and look these people in their faces and see the devastation that really happens to them and actually be on the ground in these communities. Also, a lot of people say that they understand white supremacy, but they don't. And the reason why I say a lot of people don't on the liberal side, because they do these ideas, and if you don't do it right, white supremacy will always come in and swoop and course correct the shit that you don't even think about. You go, okay, let's do this. And you go, yay. But you don't really think about, if you don't plan this all the way out, something's going to take that hole. Something's going to fill in that hole. And a lot of times it's going to be white supremacy. It's going to be unintended consequences that fuck up black and brown and other people. And a lot of times, if you look down to the root of it, it stems from white supremacy because they don't care. They don't care about these people on drugs. They don't care about, they only care about the white people on drugs. They don't care about nobody else on drugs, okay? So when you start doing this, they don't care. So they don't care about the swing to the other side where they busting people's head and they arresting people and they throwing them in jail because, you know, that philosophy and that mindset goes, you did a crime, it's your fault. You on drugs, it's your fault. Like, everything becomes your fault.
Also, I think the another part of the issue is that because people don't stick around to see how the sausage is made, it's like, we voted, we decriminalized drugs, time to go home. And it's like, no, if you look at that full plan, it was about investing money in these other resources.
And none of it happened.
And no one was ever holding their feet to the fire. Not enough people stuck around and held their feet to the fire and said, invest this fucking money.
Right. So you then, only did one part of it.
So then, because, you know, like I said, the way crime works is whatever the statistics are, because people always, I forget, it's like the last 50 years everybody always feels crime goes up, and they, you know, especially feeling if the party they don't like gets in power, but everyone's always crime is happening, right? Regardless of the actual statistics that show crime has been declining, we're safer than ever.
Right.
But here's the thing. If you live in a place that is unsafe, like you live like DC, violent crime went down, but carjackings are skyrocketed, right?
Right.
You're never going to convince the motherfucker that had their car stole trust what we're doing is working. The only way you're going to do that is you got to be on the ground in the community with those systems in place. This whole, like, we don't need to get the cops involved in, like, petty crimes. Then there needs to be someone involved, because when something happens to people, they're going to need counseling, peer mediation, whatever, community restorative act. It's a lot of infrastructure that has to take place. And I wonder cynically if a lot of this stuff is passed and it's just, the politicians and the people at the time are like, we know this won't work, but we'll pass it so these motherfuckers can, you know, get off our backs. And we just got to wait a year. Don't invest the money in anything. Don't do shit. Wait a year. They'll be clamoring about nothing's being done. They'll be upset that, you know, homeless people are passing out and fentanyl is killing motherfuckers on the ground and shit. And then they'll be like, yeah, put these people back in jail so I don't have to see it. And I do wonder, that's like conspiratorial and I have no proof. It's just a thought. I can't prove it to anybody. But I do wonder if that's what we're seeing is, because it'd be like a year later and it's like, yeah, okay. Like, so everybody ready to put the prisons back in? Everybody's like, fuck. I mean, I didn't know everybody was just going to be dying of ODs on the ground. And in Colorado, a lot of the addicts and stuff, there are white people. And so when you were like, you know, the only drug addicts they care about is white people, I'm like, to a point, because I bet they see enough of them. They just, quote unquote, homeless to them. You know, it's just, oh, you just a person that's passed out on the fucking sidewalk on my way to work. I want someone to come sweep you up. That's basically how they look at it. So I don't know. It just makes me think about all that shit, you know, connected to this dollar store thing, because like I said, I don't know what happens with in the dollar store is all you got and now you ain't got it,
right? And it's also like I said, it's a lot of factors to it, because it's one of those things to where a lot of places in the country treat homeless people like out of sight, out of mind. So you have places that they beat them and run them out, and people go, well, it's not a problem. And you have other places where, you know, people are everywhere and they're like, that's their problem. But we all stay in the same community, like a street, a block can make a difference. And it needs to be addressed everywhere. But it's wild how my taxes keep going up, you know, and shit like this. Well, then why don't you invest like you say you do versus wasting people fucking time and investing in the infrastructures that you need and paying the people who can do these jobs fair wages where they'll stay and they'll stick around and shit like this and not be mistreated and shit like that, and get the facilities that you need, get these things in place, like you said, create a system. And that's the longevity, and that's the part that nobody wants to do, because it requires patience.
But and you have to be in the community constantly.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be we voted for this, that's all I care about it, I'm going back to Twitter to argue with people.
Right.
I remember this thing that I find it to be ridiculous, but it's this thing that was happening on Twitter for a while, and it was a very Twitter conversation. It was a very social media conversation, because it was like, black kids are wearing the shiesties, these they look like balaclavas. They basically cover your whole face. And they would say, oh, these black kids are wearing it as fashion. And it's just fashion. And I don't, like, you're racist if you look at the four black kids coming towards you with them balaclavas on at night and you start getting scared. Like, you just need to get over your racial bias or whatever. And I was like, hey, man. I too don't want sagging pants criminalized. I don't want gold chains, criminal. I don't want, but hey, man, if a nigga pull up on me with a ski mask, I'll never be so woke that I won't be like, hey, what the fuck is happening?
It's ridiculous.
If I'm at a gas station and four niggas roll in with that shit, I'm trying to slide the fuck out the door. Because if y'all see the videotape later and I do get robbed and I did sit there, y'all going to be like, that nigga's a goddamn fool. Did you see how them four boys had them balaclavas on, got around him? And he was just like, how you doing, guys? And man, no wonder they pistol whipped him. Like, y'all will make it seem like I'm a fool, so I have to leave. That was my, I'm not calling the cops. Mm-mm. I'm not hitting anybody. I'm not pulling no gats on nobody. I'm just getting the fuck out of there, because if it was four white dudes, I feel the same. If it was
me
four,
too.
That's such an online argument is what I'm saying. But the things that will take us to get to the place where people want to get with restorative justice, with prison abolition, with police abolition, you know what you really need is to change the hearts and the minds of the people living there.
Mm-hmm.
Like that don't have like privilege of being like, oh, I was inconvenienced. We got to have a way that if your car gets stole and that's all you got on this fucking earth, you got to find, we got to help you get to work. We got to help you recover. Well, you got to get in there and get to somebody first and change their mind about calling the cops, you know, about wanting the police to be involved. It has to change on a level that's so different than, I feel like what it is on social media, all we are is talking with our hearts and minds.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But literally, like, physically changing people's hearts and minds in real life requires an investment. And that could be, like I said, you know, third eye open or whatever. That could be where the money gets hung up. And that's why you don't see a lot of these programs push that money into the places on the end that we want. Instead, they just wait and then it all goes to the police, because the answer is always more police getting more money. Because the rats are high on weed.
Yes. And it's one of them things where I understand I will never be that woke. I'm just to that conclusion. Maybe I'm old. Fuck it. But it's certain things that I'm like, no, I just never be that woke. You're like, no. Like, y'all talking some bullshit. And unless you have plans and policies and procedures and lay the shit out for the average person like me, I'm like, the fuck we talking about? Because like I said, it took Roger a long time. And me and Roger used to listen to podcasts about restorative justice and all that shit. And every time he played, I would be in the corner just going the fuck out. Because like, the fuck is this? Answer the motherfucking questions. People ask you about raping all this shit and you want to give me the yada yada. You can't yada yada past that shit, because that shit is real and people going to want answers, bitch.
All right. Let's go to the next news. Don Lemon says Elon Musk canceled his Twitter show, his X show, hours after interview tape for debut episode.
Where did he think that was going to go?
Right.
Rod was right.
I said this motherfucker needed to not fuck with him, because if the check don't clear, he don't pay his bills anyway.
Mm-mm.
Are you even going to get the money for your show? I don't know. Turns out they said terminate the contract. So I'm guessing you're not even getting your money.
Right.
Now I guess Don Lemon must be just like missing being on TV and having a platform.
No, you can build your
but
own.
But the way you really folded your integrity. You have folded your integrity, dapping up with Tucker Carlson to tell us freedom of speech was going to happen on Twitter, a place that we motherfucking know this dude is the opposite of freedom of speech. He's always attacking and deleting and changing shit on that platform when he sees fit. And that means banning accounts of journalists and shit. Mm-hmm. That means if he says something that is racist, something that is not factual, he literally can get the community note that they add to keep things factual. He can take that off. And mm-hmm. I saw that happen this weekend. So like, it's crazy thinking, I can't believe Don thought this was even a good fucking idea. But yeah, they apparently in the interview, he asked Elon Musk some questions about like ketamine drug use, and who knows if that's what stopped it or what. Then Elon Musk posted something saying about how this was basically like, if Don Lemon still worked at CNN, I want the real Don, not the fake Don, blah, 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 some bullshit. And just censorship, the ultimate censorship. Pulled your TV show, your ex show, I guess. Pulled your Twitter show, pulled the money and all this shit, and now you're fucked. Just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And you'd have been better off going ground roots and just restarting your brand.
Yeah, it just...
Mm-hmm. It took you longer, but at least it had been yours.
You had the CNN money.
Yes.
Just go make a YouTube channel like Stephen A. Smith. Hire you 2-3 people, get you a little set, sit in the corner and do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get your friends to stop by. What the fuck?
Right.
You signed up with this asshole? Don.
I am shocked. Shocked. Well, not that shocked.
All right, but yeah, that's just ridiculous. anything else I want to talk about in this thing?
Mm-hmm.
No, nope, nope, nope. Let's go to another segment. Let's see, what segment do we want to do? It's probably been a while since we did Black Capitalism, so let me pull up my Black Capitalism music. And we'll get through that. Felt five. Let's do the long version.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I hear y'all talking. But the only thing I'm listening to is that paper. Every day we get into that paper. Woo! I hear the money talk, I see you later. Every day we get into that paper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Woo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hear the money talk, and see you later. Yeah, I said I ain't got time to converse with you broke niggas. Ain't got time to convert with you broke niggas. Ain't got time to converse. I said I ain't got time to converse. I be getting to that paper. Hear the money talk, I'll see you later. Said every day we grinding for that paper.
Every day we grinding.
Yeah.
Said every day we grinding.
I hear the money talk, I'll see you later.
Nigga. Yeah.
Every day we grinding for that paper. I hear the money talk, I'll see you later.
Yeah, yeah. I think I forgot Harry Tubb is supposed to be on them
$20
bills, nigga.
Been a while since I let the whole thing play.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to hear all minute and 38 seconds. Shout out to my man Felt Five. That is a fucking bop.
Ain't it though?
Black Capitalism. Let's highlight some people. Black and woman-owned wine brand launches in Georgia.
Oh, bitch, let's go.
Our Best Wines, the trailblazing brand that combines wine, art, and culture, has launched in Georgia with its partner, Empire Distributors. Empire is one of the largest distributors in the southern state. The launch took place March 1st, making it a massive move for Our Best, seeing that it just launched last October. The launch follows the brand's recent launch in South Africa. Oh, they getting money over there.
Come on.
Okay, we love to see it. The company has introduced two exceptional blends, red and white, in Georgia, which may be because Georgia is seen as a trendsetter when it comes to success of building a brand, especially in wines and spirits. So, yeah. iBest Wines founder Ingrid Best and her all-women team toured Atlanta for a series of public wine tastings.
Come on through, all women.
Okay, keeping it all women. I see you. I see you. So yeah, man, shout out to Our Best. They getting this money, helping us get through America one sip at a time.
Mm-hmm.
CBS is developing the first black black daytime soap opera in 35 years.
Oof.
Mm-hmm.
And 35 Years. What was the other one?
I don't know the first one. Generations in 1989.
I remember Generations. Yes, I do.
Series.
Mm-hmm. It didn't know it did last long.
Centered around a black family. I don't even remember that.
Mm-hmm. I remember that because, like I said, I used to do with a lot of soap operas that my mom and them grew up with. Don't even exist anymore. But I grew up on Generations, General Hospital. You know, a lot of them, Days of Our Lives, like a lot of them, they came in, came back. A lot of them don't exist no more. But it's I'm glad because there's people out there who soap operas is they jam. Mm-hmm.
The Gates will be everything we love about daytime drama from a new and fresh perspective, says Sheila Duxworth, the president of CBS studio NAACP Venture. This series will salute an audience that, so I guess DEI hadn't been gotten out of everything.
Mm-mm.
They still doing it at CBS. This series will salute an audience that has been traditionally underserved with the potential to be a groundbreaking moment for broadcast television with multidimensional characters, juicy storylines, and black culture front and center. The Gates will have impactful representations. One of the key touchstones of the venture, I'm excited to develop this project with CBS and PNG, two of the longest, most passionate champions of broadcast and daytime television, and the NAACP, whose enduring commitment to black voices and artists is both powerful and inspiring.
Let's go.
I love all that. But y'all know we don't want no diverse, impactful representation. If it's a soap opera, somebody need to be fucking somebody evil twin.
Of course, it's a soap opera.
So, let's not get too respectable mm-hmm. with ours. Okay, let's just do it. You know, let's keep it salacious.
The same way we do everybody else.
Yeah, let's just keep it. You know, I don't want y'all to get too mm-hmm. caught up on representing yeah. us.
Keep being messy.
Then get canceled for being boring. I need y'all. They can't all be black presidents and senators. Mm-hmm. Somebody got to be on the drugs. Somebody got to mm-hmm. be cheating. Somebody gotta be
somebody gotta fake a death, right
somebody gotta pretend. We need all kinds of trifling black too. All
right, that's a part of the soap opera genre, and I'm here for it.
The American Museum of Natural History to launch an exhibit celebrating hip-hop jewelry.
Let's go, hip-hop jewelry.
The presentation, known as Ice Cold, an exhibition of hip-hop jewelry, opens on May 9th in New York City. It'll teach about the cultural impact of hip-hop's most notable pendants, but it'll also feature pieces worn by hip-hop greats with jewels from the 1980s until now. Someone gonna make I think I just got a great idea for Ocean's 13 or whatever number we are.
25, whatever number.
Whatever number Ocean's on. I think I got us one, y'all. Ocean's 13. Except it's all black people. Shout out to DEI. It's gonna be all black people and then one cool white person. If it's only one cool, it's gonna be John Bernthal. So we got John Bernthal.
Two at the most.
John Bernthal and 12 niggas gonna break into the hip hop.
It's gonna be all planned out.
The steel Slick Rick's chains.
He gonna be the first person. He gonna be the distracted person while everybody else is sneaking past him.
I do want to cast. Now I feel like I had to literally cast all 13 of the black people that's gonna be in it. But I know it'll take forever.
And every time they almost about to get caught, he'll walk up magically, walk up out of it. He'll be the magical white dude. He'll walk up out of nowhere, just distracting all the white people.
We all know the ending of the movie is he has the jewelry on him and he walks out. And no one arrests him because he's white. I mean, we all know that's the ending.
Of course.
We don't even need to go through the rest. But mm-mm. I'm just trying to cast it in my head. I think Sterling K. Brown gets to be the George Clooney type. I feel like he could do George. I feel like we keep...
Tyrese Henry.
Tyrese. Oh, Brian Tyree Henry. Yes. He could be in there. Maybe he could be the Brad Pitt type. I don't know.
Michael B. Jordan. Yes.
Michael B. Jordan going to be in it. We need some women up in it too, though, y'all. And we need old people. So, like, Denzel or Morgan Freeman. Well, nah, Morgan Freeman more of an Ocean's 11 type. I say Denzel or Giancarlo or somebody should be the old guy, because you got to have an old guy to talk about how they used to steal stuff back in the day.
Yes.
We need. I mean, there's so many women that could be in this joint, but I want black people from America to be in it too. I want, you know, we gotta. So of course you got. I mean, well, actually, no. I would like to look at Lupita Nyong'o.
I would like her in it.
In one of these cocktail dresses. All right, hold on. Back to plan one. Hold on.
Back to plan one.
So she gonna definitely be in it for sure. Maybe she could be the George Clooney type. I don't know.
We have to figure it out.
Well, we get to the bottom of this, okay? But
once we get the plans laid out.
Yeah, you know, Tika something gonna be in there somewhere, okay? But yeah, I think that would be like a cool exhibit to see the hip hop charms, Rockefeller charm, Nicki Minaj's Barbie pendant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Now I wonder how long can it go as an exhibit? Like, how big could it possibly be? Because I wonder how many iconic chains there are. Like, there's G-Unit and shit like that. But, mm-hmm. like, I wonder by the time you get to the end, they just naming, like, dudes from up the street and shit.
I hope not.
For iconic, because I feel like, one, y'all ain't going to know nobody chain under 35 years old in rap. Number one. So, already, jewelry-wise, you're out of the game. Also, will they have non-blingy jewelry?
Yeah.
Can you have X-Clan's medallions and shit in there?
Like, that makes sense. Yeah, non-blingy jewelry. Yeah. Right, because they wore all types of jewelry, and Kendrick, all the jewelry didn't bling.
Kendrick Lamar's onks. You know, can he have those onks? Can he have those?
Did he wear? Yeah, did he put on?
Yeah. I want to see Queen Latifah's crown.
I would like that too. Yes.
Like a whole women of hip hop thing segment.
Let's go.
Actually, I'm talking myself into this. Where is that? New York?
I know. We might have to make a trip just to go see it.
It's going to tour it all.
I bet it's going to travel.
Yeah. Last one for black capitalism. Tyler Perry offers actress Coco Brown $400,000 after she loses her home in a fire. God, he be helping.
He do.
Tyler Perry, in his latest act of kindness, he extended a generous offer of $400,000 to fellow actress Coco Brown after she and her son lost their home to a fire.
Oh, I hate they lost their home.
Monique somewhere like, that's my money. Brown spoke exclusively to TMZ and thanked all for the outpouring of support she has received. The actress, who is known for roles for better or worse and other projects, also received love from celebrities like Tiffany Haddish, Marlon Wayans, Sherry Shepherd, and the Breakfast Club podcast team, as well as donations from her friends, family, and fans, Hollywood Unlocked reported. Coco's Fayetteville, Georgia home went up in flames. It's reported the fire was caused by a lit candle falling into some clothes in the house. Oh, no. Brown said she was able to find comfort in the love and support of our community. So shout out to Tyler Perry. He did it again. Oh, black people with money be helping. I'm sorry.
Because I know y'all don't agree. They care when nobody else cares a lot of times.
I'll say this way. Black people with money help way more than white people with money. I think that satisfies all the things that are factual right there. Okay? They really will be like, damn, so-and-so house got burnt down. Let me take a little pinch of this billion. And hook them up.
And help them, right.
Like only
make life easier.
You just do not see these stories that much white folk with money, man. Just, they might start a charitable organization, but they won't be like, damn, not Coco. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We can't have Coco out here like this. The only Oprah and Tyler be doing shit like that. And Beyonce and them. Like, anyway. I wonder if it's a cultural thing. I don't know.
Because we care a lot about our people.
Yeah. Could be a cultural thing. All right. Let's get into one last thing. Let's do some. I mean, I guess two last things because, you know, sort of ratchetness. But let's play some Guess the Race. All right. What's my Guess the Race music? God, there we go.
What time is it?
It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race.
All right, guess the race time. You know what we do. Sheriff, Uber Eats driver slain, dismembered for making delivery.
What?
A Florida man is charged with murder and other offenses in the slaying and dismemberment of an Uber Eats driver who had brought food to the assailant's house. So what was...
Damn, I bought you food. Now I got to die and be dismembered.
Dismembered. Not just mismembered. Dismembered. Oscar Solis Jr., 30, is charged with killing the driver during a delivery Wednesday at home in Holiday, Florida. The remains were found at the house in trash bags and the cooler.
It wasn't a holiday for that driver.
It was the last day. The remains were found at the house in trash bags and a cooler, which also contained a receipt with Solis's name on it. Oh, well, just...
I guess don't make it hard for them.
They found the body. They found everything, right? So fuck it. This was a horrific crime of passion. They said this was demonic. What he did was demonic. Solis faces charges of murder while engaging in a robbery, failure to register as a convicted felon, and for a parole violation, jail records show. Solis was released from an Indiana prison in January after serving 4 years for an assault and burglary conviction. He moved to Florida about 3 months ago.
I guess you're supposed to let them know you moved. They're like, you ain't even let us know you moved.
Right.
Right.
Jail records did not list, if you can even leave the state, right?
Right.
Jail records did not list an attorney who could speak on Solis's behalf. A jail mugshot shows Solis's face is covered with tattoos. Let's see, 6'4", 315 pounds. Oh my God. This is a stack of man.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I feel horrible for that driver. He had no chance. Evidence collected in the case includes blood found in various places around the house and a key fob belonging to the victim that was found in Solis's dresser on top of his wallet. The affidavit also says the victim's car...
He was making
car,
it easy, wouldn't he?
Right. The victim's car was found abandoned a short distance away, and inside was a trash bag containing blood-soaked rags and towels, a DoorDash bag like one the victim carried, and an employment time card with Solis's name on it. God damn! Jesus, anyone can solve this crime.
Right? Even the kids was like, I think I know who did it, mama.
Inspector Gadget could fix this shit in about 5 minutes. And he was terrible.
Scooby doing the game when he take this case. It's like, we don't even want that case. That's too simple.
Penny wouldn't even have been able to help Inspector Gadget with this.
Encyclopedia Brown would have been like, you know what? I pass.
Investigators also obtained surveillance video from the house showing the victim making the food delivery and later... Two men carrying heavy trash bags outside. The other man who worked as a driver for Solis has not been charged. Snitch. The victim had been reported missing by his wife after he never came home from his deliveries. All right, Karen, guess the race of Mr. Oscar Solis Jr.
Oscar Solis Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Latino.
Latino. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. I don't see any guesses. Oh, Latino. The food was from a Mexican restaurant. Latino. White. He didn't even try that hard. Latino.
Oh, no.
Latino. All right. Hispanic. All right. The correct answer is, y'all are right. He was Latino or Hispanic.
Oh,
some of y'all missed it. And yeah,
I was not expecting that at all.
He was formerly an MS-13. I didn't say that because I figured that would be the a dead giveaway. But I guess I could have said it was in the article. All right, let's go to another one. Let's see. 4chan troll arrested and weapons taken from his mother's home for threats against Florida sheriff. Another 4chan troll has 4chan is a forum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you do know. All right. Has been arrested after threatening Florida Sheriff Mike Chitwood.
Only because we watched them documentaries and they was talking about it. And I remember that. It's amazing what sticks in my brains and where and sometimes my brains go, fuck it, and I can't remember it.
Peter Scully, Milo Yiannopoulos. I don't even remember the third one. How Karen? He was living with his mother, the Daily Beast said. Tyler Meyer, 30, of San Diego, allegedly made death threats against Chitwood on the anonymous message board website. It came after Chitwood condemned anti-Semitic incidents on Daytona, Florida, on Daytona Beach during the Daytona 500 and in Ormond Beach there were several guns, ammunition, and electronics seized from his mother's home. Another 4chan user was arrested early March for that's not the same thing. Oh, okay, for making similar threats. That 4chan user also lived with his mother. Well, damn, just
something about them living with their mothers.
Were you in the basement? Were you? What more of a stereotype could you be? Chitwood trolled back after the arrest. See you in sunny Florida. He posted on Facebook with the mugshot. It's too bad Mike Chitwood isn't safe now that I'm planning to kill him, he wrote. Oh. I'm going to shoot Mike Chitwood. I'm going to kill him by shooting him to death. Well, that's almost more of an up in the shut case than the last one.
I didn't know. This shit's in writing.
All right, Karen, guess the race of this 4chan troll, Tyler Meyer.
Oh, white. The 4chan, 8chan, 16chan, all of them dudes white.
Okay.
And I have Chan in the name, but it's white people.
June says that's white. Mother's basement white, says Yeti. Fuck you, mom. White, says K-Can. White. I don't give a fuck. White. All right. The correct answer is half of JL Covan. And he wasn't Haitian, if you know what I'm saying. Nobody missed it. He was white. Let me show y'all his picture. Boom. That's him. He looks like he live in his mama's basement. This is,
you know, he was like, uncanny. No, mom, we don't need snacks. We're just playing D&D, mom.
This is like a type of white guy right here. Mm-hmm. And we all know who he is. We all know. This dude on the couch white. Just, oh, my God.
Look what you made me do, mom. I made me break my controller to my PS5.
You know he wears those clothes every day.
Every goddamn day.
Oh, my God.
You Man. Know that stank.
But he had guns. So, honestly, you probably saved some people's lives. I know you were only trying to protect that one sheriff's life. I'm not going to get it twisted, Mm-mm. but y'all did it. All right, Taryn, you're 2 for 2.
What? Yay!
That's a bitch was white!
I ain't racist. How can I be racist about anybody or anything in my life? How can I?
Call them niggas. Just call them niggas.
It's time to get
gold
the race.
Feet, gold chain it's wearing, fried chicken race. And biscuit eating monkey, eight baboon, big thigh, fast running, high jumping, spear chucking, 360 degree basketball.
A man, 52, arrested for spring break mistake.
You 52 spring breaking?
After using a butter knife to create extensive paint damage to a 2023 Nissan, a Missouri man vacationing in Florida copped to the criminal mischief, describing the felonious conduct as a spring break mistake.
Nigga, you 53 talking about a spring break mistake? I guess he was like, butter knife can do damage too?
52. The defendant, however, is a 52-year-old real estate executive, not a collegian, sharing at St. Petersburg. Oh, he's sharing the St. Petersburg hotel with 8 friends. But what if he's like Rodney Dangerfield, where it's like, yeah, he's 52, but he's kind of like, he's a college kid at heart. Come on, everybody, we're going skinny dipping or whatever the fuck he said.
No, sir.
According to the cops, the vehicle owners, a married couple, spotted a man standing near their car, making motions near the driver's side. When the duo confronted the man, he laughed and ran down the street. He was on some good stuff.
Oh, that stuff was excellent.
Upon examining the car, the couple discovered the entire side of their vehicle had been scratched up and had extensive paint damage. Lying next to the car on the floor was a silver butter knife that was used to damage the vehicle. The car, which was parked outside the Toasted Monkey restaurant.
Not the Toasted Monkey.
Yeah, you got to go down to the Toasted Monkey. Is that
and
a strip
get
club?
Toasted. It sounds like a strip club, don't it?
Yeah. There's a lot going on.
Come on down to the Toasted Monkey to get you some monkey. What? What are we talking about, people?
I don't know if it's racist or sexist.
I don't know either. I have no idea what's happening down at the Toasted Monkey.
Yeah, is it a black thing? Is it a lady thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's what Leslie Jones said in that white clip. I think I got that clip. Yeah.
So I don't know if it was a race thing or a lady thing, but I'm mad as hell.
Yeah. Because I'm like, Toasted Monkey, that could be a lot of things.
Yes, that could.
A review of security footage yielded a clear image of the suspect and cops determined the vandal had put his phone number down on the Toasted Monkey wait list.
So they can call you back and tell you when you can come in.
Right. I hope they called him like, they're like, hey, dude, you at the Toasted Monkey last night? Because we got your phone number and you're toast.
Well, you at the Toasted Monkey sound like you in a jam.
What was it?
Because jam go on toast.
Oh!
Oh, okay.
That's your best one ever.
Okay, yay, good.
That's your best one.
Okay, because I was like, well, maybe I'm going crazy.
No, you got me. You got me. I was like, what? Damn, I didn't even see it coming.
Yay, I'm glad I got you.
Mm-hmm. He was arrested on felony criminal mischief charge. He was released from the county jail Friday morning after his wife posted 2,000. Oh, man, your wife got to come down to the jail for this bullshit. Oh.
Cause you want to get frog at the Toasted Monkey?
Oh man, I know she fucking cussed his ass out all the way back to the crib.
Right.
Oh,
embarrassing me, embarrassing the kids. What is this?
Right. Edwards is a Springfield, Missouri resident. He's a licensed real estate salesperson whose LinkedIn page lists him as a development director for Bryan Properties. All right, Karen, guess the race.
Oh, white. Yeah, right. No, you know, if you do this, what happens when we let you on company function shit? Are we going to have to worry about you fucking shit up on the Toasted Monkey on our time?
Right. He's just a young man who made a mistake and needs a second chance, white.
Oh, no.
Hangover white. White and stupid. 52 butter knife, a spring break. He is a white. Says Jim. So everyone went white on this one and everyone got it right. And that must be his real estate headshot. Man, he's got a lot of forehead.
Child, you got a receding hairline, sir. Talk about spring break. You don't get out of here. I know your back hurt. You got a hot back. Icing yourself down out here fucking around these people's vehicles. Get out of here, sir. Bet you your left knee buckle when you walk. You don't get out of here. Fucking with them people car talking about some goddamn spring break.
That's true. All right. Sore ratchet is time. Club advisor slashes student with sword in demonstration.
Oh!
A high school club advisor accidentally sliced a student in the leg with a real Japanese sword during a martial arts demonstration as part of a club activity.
What? That ends the club activity.
What? Nara Prefectural.
So now I got cut in front of my mom and them?
Or at school in front of other students.
Yes.
Nara Prefecture Ikoma High School here said it apologized to the injured student and his parents. According to officials, the 70-year-old Kendo Club advisor holds a Dan rank in the martial art of Aikido. On the morning of March 5th, he demonstrated the use of a real Japanese sword in front of students from kendo and karate clubs at a martial arts dojo. That's like when that gun instructor shot himself. You're just like, oh, man, that's not good for you. That's
unfortunate.
That these kids aren't going to listen to this anymore.
You traumatized a lot of those kids.
After that, the club advisor had a student stand in front of the other students holding replica swords and was demonstrating the movements when he cut the student's thigh. I would immediately act like I did it on purpose. I'm like, aha, that's called the reverse slice. Oof. And that'll teach the rest of y'all to be careful around swords.
All these shits are sharp, but sir, yours is sharper. The now fuck
call,
is this?
Call the hospital like I intended. As part of the plan, I'm going to call 911 and put a tourniquet on your leg.
This is part of the process.
It wasn't a life-threatening injury. The club advisor has not informed the school in advance. He had not informed the school about using a real sword.
That's a problem, too.
Oh, he think he hot shit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull the sword out. We going real old school today. We doing real swords. I'm going to remix this shit.
Yeah, because they might have policies. They go, okay, if you do the real sword, you might have to have extra people there. Like, you don't know what the rules are for using real swords.
When interviewed by the Prefectural Board of Education, he said, I use the sword that I normally use. He intends to resign to take responsibility.
You don't say.
Now, how very Japanese of you. Because I feel like in America, they would be like, what? Class is Monday at 5.
Right. Y'all better show up.
What's the problem?
You paid for it. I'm getting paid.
It was just one leg. The education
one
board.
One little small cut. Now whining and crying. Generations ain't what they used to be.
Okay. I call him Bigfoot. He got a big foot. I chop his leg. Hold on. Get up on your good foot.
Oh, no.
I use the sword I normally use, blah, blah, blah. The education board will hold a news conference on March 7th to provide a detailed explanation as the wide sword was brought into the school. Oh, I know they finna be real formal in that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Japan don't play. According to the education ministry, there are no rules that prohibit bringing swords. What the fuck? Japan. I know y'all know better.
Right, it's part of y'all culture.
There's no rule prohibit bringing swords and similar items into schools, but it's required to handle anything that poses a risk or accidents of danger with care and attention to safety. Number one, that's just how much better Japanese people that are than us. That y'all have had this fucking rule this whole time, and we don't just be on here every day like somebody got stabbed in Japan at a school.
Mm-mm.
That's how much better citizens of the world they are than us.
Right?
But also, yo, y'all should put that in writing. No swords in school.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all been new. Y'all went through the sword like real shit. Like, motherfuckers only had swords.
Right. That's all we had is fists and swords.
Like, y'all used to have, like, you know, the fucking, like, emperors. Not emperors, but, like, people contend to be emperor of Japan by being like, get the swords out. We fighting.
We swording up today.
But, damn, that's crazy that they don't have that. You just think that would be a rule.
They had sword offs. Five paces and swing, nigga.
All right, but I guess maybe they look at it different. Like, sometimes you got to fight the fair one, put that sword out. You know? What if you got fencing class or some shit? I don't know. Maybe Shogun is real.
Maybe.
All right, y'all. That's it. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you. Appreciate y'all. We'll be back on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, I love you.
I love you, too.
Mwah.